This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 276 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And I'm here on my own because somebody forgot that it was Thursday night. So I've sent him a text and he's gone, oops, give me five. So I thought, bugger him. I'm going to start without him and he can just join in when he gets here. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that. He'll probably go, oh, well, you're fine. You got it under control. You can do it on your own or something equally random and Glyn-like. Yeah, so this week, what have I been up to? Did the advanced motorcycle course last Sunday with a mate of mine, James, and a friend of his, whom I hadn't met before. That was a lot of fun. And, that was quite an intense day, actually. Spent the whole day on a closed 2 kilometer circuit going round and round and round in circles. Makes me think of that comedy sketch with Murray, whatever his name was. Fucking cars going round and round. Anyway, photographically, nothing of late. I've been, over the last 6 weeks, as you know, I've been, pretty much spending all of my spare time getting all these kidney car rally books and DVDs, ready for delivery. And that happens this Saturday coming, which will be the day prior to the release of this podcast. So by the time you hear this podcast, all of that work will be handed off and I can breathe a huge sigh of relief, which I've kind of done now because it's all out of the way. All the product is now here and ready to be handed over. So that's a couple of days away. I really do need to sit down and clean all my camera gear. Seriously, I came home and everything was just covered in dust. And I've just, it's just one of those things. It's been sitting on the floor for the 6 weeks since I got home. Hasn't moved. It's probably gathered a little more dust in those 6 weeks. I really need to sit down and do that. So maybe I'll do that on Sunday. I was going to go out for a shoot on Sunday. But I just really need to slow down, particularly after the scare I had a week or so back, which Glyn was quite happy to laugh off. But it was scary, having not experienced it before. The doctors put it down to just anxiety and stress and a sort of a panic attack, which I've never known. Well, let's just say I'm not predisposed to that kind of thing, but I had had similar instances about 3 times over the preceding 18 months. So not like it was happening all the time, but now that I look back on it, I can go, well, yes, okay, I had experienced it before, but I didn't know it, what it was. So I feel like this is my body, sending me a warning saying, oi, numbnut, slow down, take a breather. So I got in touch with Nick, who I was going to go out and do a shoot with on Sunday, and I said, mate, do you mind if we just put it off a few more weeks? Give me some time to catch my breath. And he was cool. He understood. So we will do that. So Glyn has still not come online, slacker that he is. Well, I suppose I could start covering some of the things that I've got on the list. Let's cover some of the stuff that Adam put up on Facebook through the week. The first was a post on Petapixel that said, about that 25 to 300 f2.8 lens that you wanted. If you haven't checked this out, you really should. Glyn's just come onto Skype. Let's give him a call. Yeah, pretty amazing lens. It's a Fuji lens.
Dude.
Ah, you finally joined us.
I totally forgot about it. I've got nothing.
Well, I've already started. I started without you.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. How you been?
Occupied. Well, preoccupied is probably the better word.
Getting some nookie, were you? Okay. Excellent. Well, that's a valid excuse.
Just not so loud. The wife may listen to an episode. Be careful. I didn't know it was Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have one of those lives where
all your naps just merged into one.
Well, you tend. So I've taken the week off. I've got no workshops on this week.
You what?
Yeah, I've been working too hard. So I've taken the week off, and it's kind of hard to, when you don't have that day of work to look forward to. It's hard to plan your week around.
It throws your whole timetable out the window.
Completely threw me out. So today will be an exceptionally well researched episode.
Of course,
a highly in-depth study before talking.
Right.
As I said, I've got nothing. Well, unless you've got a pile of stuff to talk about.
I've got a few bits and pieces.
How's your week been?
Well, I've already covered that.
Really?
Yes.
How long's the episode been going for so far?
About 6 or 7 minutes.
That's not bad, is it? Yeah, we're at least a good 15% in.
That's right.
It's not going to be as short as we thought.
That's right. So, I did the motorcycle thing on Sunday, which was great. Quite physically demanding.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're doing something, jumping up on, going around track on a bike or something.
Yeah, an advanced rider course. So that was pretty cool.
That's the one.
I was just saying that I really need to, now that the kidney car stuff is out of the way, I hand over all that product this Saturday, and I've postponed the shoot for Sunday.
That's a good move.
Because I just need to slow down.
That's a good move.
But what I do need to do is to clean all my camera gear.
Really?
Because I came home from the rally 6 weeks ago, and the gear hasn't moved since, and it's still sitting on the floor covered in dust.
now it's just this big pile. All the stuff's got into everything. It's all over.
Yeah, and there's just a little bit more dust on it now than there was 6 weeks ago. So, but other than that, a fairly low-key week, just, you know, working and stuff. Yeah.
Working. Well, I had a, okay week. So the week, haven't been doing much photo. I did a flash workshop last Saturday.
Right.
And a little something special happened.
Yeah.
I broke a listener's virginity.
Okay.
A Shutter Zinc listener's
workshop
virginity was broken.
Okay. Meaning it was their first workshop?
It was the first workshop ever. So hello, David Marland. You know who you are.
Excellent.
Well, I hope he knows who he is. But yeah, Dave came down and hung out for the day, and one of our lucky listener.
Yeah.
And I met David at the big photo, not the big photo show, the digital photo show they call the thing down here in Melbourne.
Right.
Last year.
Yeah.
And he popped on down from Country Victoria for a workshop.
Awesome.
And it's really funny because two of the other attendees. One had done 29 workshops.
Wow.
And the other one had done more. She'd lost track.
Wow. So, all with you or with various other people?
A bunch with me, but not all with me, with all sorts of people.
Yeah, right.
Plus there were third-year photographic studies college students.
Wow.
So they put some effort and time into their photography,
yeah.
You've got to say.
Wow.
And, I don't know if I should say this.
Yeah.
I'll say it anyway. They said, you know, they learnt more about flash in one day than all the workshops and the 3 years of photographic studies college. They learnt more in the 6 hours than me, which is, I'm not going to take as a compliment. I'm going to take it as, how bad are these other places?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's a pretty bad indictment on, and the problem was, everything's made to be so complex in a lot of these places.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way they're taught flash as an example, it was all TTL and no real understanding of how flash works and how to get exposures
and how to do
right.
It manually. Yeah.
Yeah. And do it the easy way, which is manual. And
exactly.
And so
it's far more predictable.
Well, that's it. And that's kind of what you want. And there were a couple of these ladies worked as wedding photographers together. They were a team.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, there's moments where there's either pulling their hair out or they don't use flash because it's pain in the ass, or the shots in the reception look terrible, and all the normal sort of things that people don't like using flash because they don't like the results.
Yeah.
So hopefully I've got them on the path to glory with beautiful flash.
Yeah, right. That's just scary.
I know.
It just goes to show how few, even quote-unquote professionals, understand flash.
Yep.
Like, that even the people who are allegedly, training other photographers now don't understand it.
Well, when I was at Photographic Studies College the other week teaching, doing the demo for Alan Crom, I was talking to one of the teachers, and we're talking about normal flash, and he's talking TTL this, TTL that. Oh, no, I can't do that stuff. It's too hard. Much easier to do manual. So it's much easier to just divide this by that. He goes, look, I know a lot about flash, and you've even lost me with that. Are you kidding me? I talked as expecting the person to know.
Yeah.
Because, I expected them to know.
Yeah.
And they may have done. I might have just phrased it badly just in case they're listening. they go, no, I didn't. He stumbled. He didn't say that clearly at all. No. Yeah. I knew what he meant after he'd explained it.
Yeah.
No. But it's just like, I did the typical, all you got to do is divide 44 by 2.
Yep.
And it's like, oh. So, okay. And then these students come along, and once again, they're taught technology. And I was always saying, technology is great, until it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Your GPS is a fantastic tool until you're lost and it's not working.
Yeah. It's like the people who will sit down and use a computer with no concept of what's inside the beige box.
Yeah.
What box? Sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. But so you know what I mean, though, right?
I think this is what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I did have an interesting IT experience during the week. I was doing some emails.
Right.
Doing a funny bit of work.
Yeah.
Turned my computer off for about an hour.
Yeah.
Came back.
Yeah.
Wanted to do another email. Turned the email program back on again. And it started downloading the last 3 years of emails.
Oh, nice.
Like 9,600 emails or something.
Over your phone's 3G connection?
And I couldn't stop it.
Oh, no.
You can't stop it. You have to let it run its course.
What email program are you using?
Outlook.
Okay.
And I called a mate of mine as an IT guy, and he goes, no idea.
Wow.
So it's not the first time it's happened. It happened like a year ago as well. So you've got to set the whole, all these thousands of, it's filling up your hard drive. And it's And then the download date is all the day and time that the email is being downloaded now.
So
you can't even sort by date and get all the old stuff and clear it out because the date is now today's date. I know. So it's a little bit of a nightmare. So I sat there for a day and a half letting it download, and then a day and a half cleaning out 9,600 emails.
Good thing you had the week off.
Tell you. So you ruined the whole week. I had one little disaster this week too, I might add.
Yeah.
Another nomination for Father of the Year.
Okay.
I fell asleep in the car outside the school waiting to pick up the kids.
Right.
And I woke up 20 minutes after they should have been picked up. And there's Miss Seven crying her eyes out with the teacher at the...
Oh, no.
Because she could see the car, but there's no sign of me. I had the seat back. I was fast asleep. That's me, Father of the Year.
Oh, dear. So the teacher didn't think to walk over and check the car?
Well, she probably didn't want to find a dead body. I'm not going near that. Yeah. I feel fantastic for that. Love making your children cry just because you're inconsiderate, Anyway, so what have you got in your agenda to talk about?
Well, I was just starting to cover some of the stuff that Adam had put up on the Shutter Zinc page through the week.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do it before without me.
Yeah.
Now you can do it without me whilst I look for some other stuff.
Yeah. So so this article on Petapixel, before I was so rudely interrupted by Glyn's appearance, about that 25-3.
Let's just hold it right there. I'm surprised you started without me. It's just plain rude.
Do you know what? I fully expected that when I told you that I had started without you, that you'd go, oh, well, you've got it under control. I'm out of here.
Actually. Damn. Nah, damn.
You've missed it. You missed your opportunity.
Yeah. Now, so, we want to give the listeners some sort of listenability. Can't do a whole episode just of you. It'd be like listening to a whole episode just of me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, this lens, believe it or not, does actually exist. A 25 to 300 mil f2.8. That's huge. And just to give you an idea of how huge it is, if you follow the link, which will be in the show notes, there is a picture of this monster of a lens sitting on a desk beside a Nikon 70-200 2.8. Now, most of us know what a 70-200 2.8's like. This thing is at least double the length and almost double the diameter. I think it's like 135 millimeter front element.
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't want to be buying a bunch of filters for that, would you? So anyway, that's an interesting the thing that was disappointing about this was the picture of the guy at the end of the post. I don't know if you went and had a look at this post, Glyn.
No.
There's a picture of a guy holding this lens and the lens is out of focus. Like, whoever shot the image has got the guy in focus.
The problem is he's shooting an f22. The lens is so big, Bruce. Run of it's out of focus.
Yeah. So anyway, it's very interesting. Anyway, you can check that one out. The next thing that Adam had was on DIY photography, and this was the basically the shopping list, or not really a shopping list, but the things to consider if you are in the process of making the switch from DSLR to mirrorless. So if you are considering the change and you want to know a little bit more, that's a post worth reading, just for some of the details.
Any
some
particular
of the details.
Points you want to sort of pull out and expand upon?
No.
Choke up some time?
No, I've attended the Glyn Lavender School of Research.
Bruce, open it up and pull a few kernels of wonder out, because otherwise it'll be a 14-minute long podcast.
Yeah, the third one that I wanted to get to, of all the stuff that Adam put up on Facebook, was the entrancing cinemagraph creations of Julien Duvier.
Yes.
And I think we spoke about cinemagraphs in the last episode.
I think we might have talked about his, didn't we?
Did we?
Thought we did.
I thought there were some others, but anyway, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't
know. Talk about it.
Anyway.
In case someone didn't listen to last episode, let's just replay the last half of last week's episode for those who didn't hear it.
Yes.
It was good.
Being a podcast,
last week was a pretty good episode.
Not like you couldn't go back and download it, eh?
Last week was a pretty good episode.
Why?
We can't expect two in a row.
Right.
So we should just live off the glory of last week's podcast.
Right.
Well, you know, let's have a flashback. There you go. Let's have a flashback episode. All the best bits of our podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, again, link will be in the show notes for those that want to check it out. Carl Hemmings sent us an eBay listing.
He did.
Did you see this?
No.
A very cheap lens. You should maybe consider buying. Well, that's no good for you because you should Canon. Nikon 6mm f2.8 Nikkor ALS fisheye lens, museum condition, very rare, US $121,000, $837.50.
Wow.
For a 6mm fisheye.
Is it
want to be made of solid bloody gold.
Has it got bids?
History says one offer, So
yeah, $1,200 offer.
So yeah, so I don't know what I've never seen the make an offer button on eBay. So maybe
there's always there's
right.
You can actually go and search just make an offer sales
listings.
Like they're buy it only.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, you can that's right. But I don't want to pay that much for it.
Right.
I've done a few.
Okay.
I bought my Diana camera that way.
Right.
I'm making an offer.
Yeah. Right.
Usually, 10 or 15% less than what they're asking is a reasonable.
Oh, okay.
A reasonable
answer. 100 grand will get it for you then.
Exactly.
Thankfully, it comes in a solid flight case. So, you know, that's worth $99,000 in itself.
It was like somebody had, the trend that is Loom bands. Have you seen this trend?
No.
It's basically kids, like every kid on the planet, it seems, is playing with these little rubber bands. And basically,
I've heard of these.
Banding them together and making like rings and necklaces.
Yes.
And,
yep.
Well, some girl and her mum and some mum's friends made a dress in England out of one of them.
Wow.
Cost them like £50 worth of rubber bands.
Right.
So they put it on eBay just to sell just for fun.
Yep.
I think it sold for £33,000.
What?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong business, dude.
Oh, man. I was thinking the same thing. I'm going to make up some Loom Band undies. I'm good for those with the full Brazilian because you wouldn't want not for the hip. Oh, no.
Mm.
Yeah, you wouldn't want like a Loom Band singlet for the man with the hairy chest and back. That sucker's never come off.
I want to see the Loom Band mankini.
Oh, there you go. The poor rat mankini.
I want to see that one on the catwalks of Milan. through the week, Rob Coates from Perth posted a comment on ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Yes, he did. He's one of the only ones who does. So.
Bugger all people. I've got to say, it makes me think we do only have 7 listeners. Even like Aaron, who used to post a little bit now and then, gone.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it must be everything we said.
Must have.
If you're still out there, Aaron, a little something, a little nod on Facebook, a little like of a link once in a while, just so that you're there.
So anyway.
It goes for all of you.
Rob Coates said, I've just read the latest post from Lightstalking, and they mentioned a site called shothotspot.com.
Shothotspot.
Yeah. .com. It allows you to search for good photography locations anywhere in the world. It gets its images and their locations from Flickr and Panoramio, and also allows users to upload images. It's potentially useful to get location ideas if you're planning to visit a certain area and perhaps get some ideas for shots in your own neck of the woods. Regards, Rob from Perth. So I was just having a look at it. Just a few minutes before we started recording, and it's an interesting concept because, as he says, it's just pulling images that have got tags for that location from Flickr and Panoramio. So even if you've never been to, a particular town or an area, if there are images that have been tagged with that, then you will get to see those images. So you can at least go, there's, a nice park, or there's a great old church.
That's my kind of thing or whatever, yeah.
You
think you're going somewhere and it's all things that aren't remotely your cup of tea.
Sorry?
You want to go somewhere and you look at the photos and all the things that people have taken photos. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like those things. It's not in the area that you'd want to go shoot, so you save your time not having to go there.
Absolutely. Or if you do see something that's, along the genre that you like to shoot, like it's, great architecture and there's, a whole bunch of churches or something, then, you can at least do a bit of mental pre-scouting before you arrive and go, okay, well, that church looks really interesting. I'd really like to shoot that. And so I thought, that's worth sharing.
Mm.
So,
jeez.
Thank you, Rob.
Was it flicks through my head?
Yeah.
I was reading just before about Michael Schumacher, the Formula One racer who got seriously injured at Christmas time skiing.
Now, he's out of a coma now, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. I doubt it very much. Personally,
right.
But they're saying he's waking very slowly from his coma, which to me says no.
Right, yep.
But they're investigating whether the GoPro he had on his helmet was part of the cause of his significant injuries.
Oh.
Because they're saying the way did the way the camera was mounted on the helmet give the helmet a weakness in that position? Because the helmet apparently shattered into multiple pieces.
Wow.
And they're saying, you know, is it was part of the cause the way this thing was mounted. So that was an I thought it was an interesting
wow
little thing.
That sounds like a lawsuit you wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of.
No.
Jeez.
But yeah, how do you know it was mounted properly? All that sort of stuff. Are you mounting them properly? Are you causing the structure of whatever you like? If you're
integrity,
on a boat,
the structural integrity,
the structural integrity of your canoe. Being compromised to have your GoPro holder on it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
All that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, thought that was moderately podcast worthy, especially on a podcast where we have nothing. It's exceptionally worthy.
There was a post that I saw on digitalphotographyschool.com.au through the week, and it was an assortment of shadow images.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an interesting collection of images.
Did you have a shadow boxer?
No, I didn't see a shadow boxer, no. But there were some really really good shadow based images in the portfolio. I thought it was really a great collection.
What kind of ones are we talking about?
As in they were just photos where shadows were a key component of the subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there were some that were taken from very high angles, you know, looking down on people and their elongated shadows because they were obviously shot first thing in the morning or last thing in the afternoon. Just all different sorts of things. And, yeah, some people playing with, you know, lights and, you know, sun shining through trees and stuff like that. It was just, yeah, just an interesting collection of images.
Cool.
So I will flick you the link for that one. Right there. So if you want to have a squiz, there's a really creepy shot of a girl in a hood and a bunch of people who have obviously held their hands up to be shadows that are just sort of like dark shapes on the wall behind her that kind of look like spirits sort of reaching out for her, which is kind of creepy. And
I've done similar stuff with Flash, but I fired Flash. I think Adam Davidson was one. He was holding a faux axe.
Oh, okay.
Project a shadow of him up a brick wall with an axe chasing this girl. So the girl was lit with flash and everything else.
Oh, okay.
But he was just projected up onto the wall.
Yep.
So that's always kind of a fun thing.
Yep.
To be able to do. That's some great shadow stuff. I see. Yeah, it's I always like a good bit of shadow play. So.
Yep. I love the one of the grasshopper / praying mantis, whatever it is. Sticking his head through the hole in the leaf. I don't know if you've got us that far down yet, but that's a great image. Yeah, so anyway, just thought I'd share that one.
Oh, there he is. That is cool, isn't it?
That's great. Yeah, there's some nice images in there that I
some good work
liked. Next thing that I had was the most epic of road trips.
Really?
Yes. This guy, this was on Petapixel. This guy and his wife started on a road trip that lasted for 26 years, covered 177 countries,
sheesh,
which I think would be just about all of them, and 500,000 miles. So, yeah, pretty epic. And there's a great video that just sort of captures just a very brief assortment of what they must have covered over 26 years. His wife ended up dying while they were still traveling.
Well, that's what you'd have to call a failure of a trip.
And she said to him, you know, I want you to continue on after I'm gone. So he did.
Did you just leave her there?
I don't know.
Just keep on going. I'm off.
But, yeah, but he eventually got to the point where he went, had enough. And so he went home to Germany and he's, it's a fantastic ad for his Mercedes four-wheel drive that just went and went and went for 26 years, and he did all the servicing himself wherever he was in the world. Yeah, an absolutely great story. I'll flick you that one. If you want to watch the video, it only ran for about 5 or 6 minutes, the video, but it was really good.
Five or six.
Yeah. Sorry, mate, I know that's a lot to ask.
You're asking for commitment. My first marriage didn't last that long. I just said a little linky link through to you, something I think you might find, well, I find interesting.
Right. Shuttersisters.com, Travelling Lens Project. It's called
the Travelling Lens Project.
Right.
And it's the launch of the new Lens Baby for mobile cameras. Oh,
God, bloody Lens Babies. I just don't get that.
Six of these things travelling around to a whole bunch of photographers.
Right.
And they're all part of the same Travelling Lens Project. And they get this lens for a little bit, do some shots with it,
right,
and send off to the next photographer and so forth over a period of time. And then they all post into this blog and this. And this is kind of nice to get all these different people's perspective. I like that concept, you know.
Yeah.
Of sharing. It's like back in, you know, you get a camera with a roll of film in it. And you take one photo. And you're going to forward that. Then you send the camera on to the next person. And they get to take one photo.
Maybe all the Shutters Inc. listeners who shoot Nikon can fork out the $121,000 for that lens, and you can share the lens.
Yeah, that's like $121,000 for one person. By all, you mean the one? I thought you say that if we bought a roll of 12 exposure film camera, we could send it around to all the Shutters Inc. listeners. They could all take a shot each. We'd still have 4 or 5 frames left over at the end for us, and that'd be kind of a cool project.
That we share a roll of film.
Yeah.
Thing is, everyone's got to have a camera that
you send the camera.
Oh.
Get like a disposable. Right. A 36 disposable camera.
Yeah, right.
And you send it on.
Yeah,
and
right.
Send it on and send it on.
That's.
And everyone's got to take, and they've got like a week to take their one shot. Oh,
that's a radical idea.
It's a year-long project. Let's do it.
That's a crazy idea.
I
could dig.
Shutters Inc. listeners.
I could dig out one of my old analog bodies.
There you go.
I've
got an analog body. It's got some digits on the end of it, though.
No, I could dig out one of my Minolta film cameras, put a battery in it.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm up for that.
Shutters Inc. listeners, sign up for the project.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
We'll start a post.
Yeah.
And you've got to put your name on the post.
Yep.
And to say you're in, 36 people.
Yep.
Roll of 36.
Yep. First 36 people to put their name.
34 people, because me and you've got to do
one. Yes, that's true.
So 34 people.
Yep.
Sure. So if the 7 listeners can go out and find some friends. and we'll send it around. Ideally, we'd like some people from other parts of the world.
Maybe,
I'm still thinking a disposable camera is going to be, because it's going to be light, it's going to be cheap.
Right.
We're putting the onus on everybody else to fork out the cost to send it on.
Yes. Yeah.
So if it's costing $25-$30 to send on, yeah, but a disposable camera's light, isn't it going to cost a few bucks?
Yeah.
So let's do a disposable camera.
So let's, you know, make that a stipulation. If you put your hand up, you are agreeing to cover the postage costs of the camera to the next person.
Yeah.
On the list.
And Bruce has donated the money for the camera and the developing, which is lovely. Lovely of Bruce.
Yes, okay.
Very generous of you.
Right.
I'm inspired.
That's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah,
let's do it.
We'll do that. We will.
Done deal.
We'll get it up on the Facebook page.
Facebook. Done. And they might invite a few more people to come and look at our Facebook page, which is Shutters Inc.
Yeah.
What is
it's facebook.com/Shutters Inc.
There you go. I should do something about this. I got this. You know these things go around on Facebook about, you know, you get nominated to do stuff.
Oh, okay, like the ice bucket challenge and crap like
that. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, someone, Dave Foggan, bloody listener, has nominated me to do 5 black and white photos, one a day for 5 days, and nominate 3 other people. I've seen this. Now, I don't do these things.
No.
I don't. It's just not me, you know. But because it's photography related, I'm kind of almost feeling I should.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I reckon we should.
Because, you know, if I'm doing it, it means you're doing it.
Yeah, I figured that.
I'll nominate you straight away.
I figured that.
Just, you know, it's just, oh, you know.
Well, the
it's
thing
a struggle
is,
for me. It really is, yeah.
Do you have to go out and shoot something new?
No, your 5 favourite or whatever it can be. So I've only got a billion shots. It's not the shots. It's the...
Sitting down to process them in black and white?
No, I've got lots of black and white. It's the...
Because, see, when I first saw this a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, someone did actually stipulate, no, you can't use old images. You've got to go and shoot something each day for 5 days.
Well, now this is a different thing. It's just five images. Right. So that, maybe there's someone started another one because that was too hard. it's just, it's the same, it's kind of the same thing along the lines of photo competitions and there's some sort of stigma there for me.
Right. That people are going to judge your work.
It's also a little bit like, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Right.
And whilst I post photos on Facebook a lot, I try not to make them, gee, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And, except when I'm picking on your stuff, Bruce.
Yeah.
That's a different matter altogether.
Yeah.
it's either to promote an event, it's mercenary, it's to promote events I'm doing.
Yeah.
Or have done. Yep. And it's to share what I've done with the people who were there with me on the day as well, because they want to see what I did.
Yep.
Of course. I don't know. It's just so maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it, Bruce.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I want you to open up the last link that I sent you.
Did you send me a link?
I did.
Did you?
It's the one on Quora.com. What is the best selfie picture ever clicked?
Oh, here we go. That's going to be the one with the monkey.
There are some fantastic images in this lot. So Quora.com, for those who've never been to Quora, it's kind of like the best of all forums on the net, in that you can ask questions of people who, you know, have answers, you know, relating to specific topics, and generally get information from people who know what they're talking about. Every now and again, you know, you do find topics like this that are fairly random. But a bunch of people have posted different images as answers to this question. And some of these are just phenomenal. Like, you know, the shot of...
They are very cool.
The guy standing on top of Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
The guy flying a helicopter over Sydney Harbour... who's got his little camera out on the extendable stick outside
The guy who's being flown in the helicopter. It's a bit different. If he was flying as well, I'd give him kudos.
He is flying isn't he?
No, he's a passenger. I'm looking at the photo right there. There's a bloke in the background.
Bloke in the background?
The bloke in the background's flying the helicopter. It's a right-hand drive. He's got his hand on it. Get your hand off it, Daryl.
Nah, I'm not seeing it. But anyway, maybe you're looking at a different photo.
The red helicopter flying over Sydney Harbour Bridge. Yeah. How many selfies have you seen of people in red helicopters?
Oh, there he is. That bloke, all right, fair enough. Well, further down, there's another guy who's...
The better one's the guy in space, because he's not even holding on to anything.
Yeah, that's the classic. That's the perfect selfie. Because very few people could copy that image.
He's a bit of a smart ass doing it that way, though. Yeah.
I find the freaky number 14, man, that's just...
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's got the top of a spike on top of a building.
Hanging off the bloody top of a building and looking downwards. Wow. Yeah, so anyway, there's some really cool images in there.
Then the number 15, number 13's fake, of course.
13.
The guy
on the aeroplane? Yeah, because his tie's not blowing around.
Yeah, plus those windows don't open.
No. So anyway,
the chopper guy gets in there twice, or is it just a different list?
I think it's that they've somehow been repeated. I think someone's quoted the whole thread in one of their replies or something like that. But yeah, I thought that was pretty...
There's a guy running at the balls. There's a ball coming right up behind him. He's selfing himself. He's running down the street.
Yeah. Last photo of that guy that was ever taken. I like the Mr. Bean selfie.
And number two, the guy standing on the star on top of wherever he is.
Yes.
Vegas?
Oh, I don't know where it's taken, but yeah, this.
That's pretty darn scary.
Yep.
You'd have to say. Very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that is pretty much everything I had on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, over and done with like that.
Over and done with.
There was
short podcast, a good podcast.
Well, a good podcast is a good podcast, Bruce, and then there's ours. I've got this thing here. I found out this. I've got this massive book at home, and by I say massive, it's like 3 foot tall by 2.5 foot wide.
Oh,
and it's all like
that is a big book.
It's a bound set of newspapers from 1908 in Brisbane, the Brisbane Courier Mail.
Wow,
1908.
Right, but reprinted it as a hardcover book.
No, it's the originals.
Oh,
it's the originals bound, because in those days they'd keep, you know, the people doing the printing would keep each issue and then bind them and keep them for reference sake.
Wow, oh, that's right. Because you're into collecting old books.
I am. Old fishing books, but this one by chance has some fishing content in it. And anything to do with Australian fishing, 1908. That's incredibly early. There's very few bits of written material.
Right.
Around, so
yeah, it's, right.
But I'm looking at all these adverts as I'm going through it, and I found one for a photographer, which I thought, oh, that's kind of cool.
Wow.
And the headline is "Our reduction of prices." So this is where it starts.
Yeah.
So they're reducing prices even in 1908,
and we've been on a downhill slide ever since.
"Our reduction of prices has proved a phenomenal success, and we shall continue only for a few weeks and advise intending clients to make appointments early." Here's what you get.
Yeah,
you get 12 highest standard cabinet portraits with beautiful enlargement for only 10 and 6.
Right.
Or 12 of the highest standard Paris panel portraits for only 15 shillings. These are two of our leading prices. Does it make any sense? Two of our leading prices, and leading's in the capital L.
Right.
But all others are reduced to half our usual prices. That must be two of our most expensive things. Right. Our studio is the best lighted and largest in Queensland. Our operators are the most expert and artistic obtainable. They're the most expert and artistic obtainable. And our portraits, the highest standard in the Commonwealth. Whoa. Call early to avoid disappointment. Bain & Co. Limited, Vice Regal Photographers, Brisbane.
Right.
Well, fabulous. They're already discounting. They've already got the really over-the-top advertising going on.
Yeah. You
know? It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
No pictures. The advert's hasn't got a single picture in it. It's all text. so I can't critique their work. But isn't that funny? They're the most expert.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it is correct English. It doesn't sound right.
What's that? Most expert?
The most expert. Hello, I'm Glenn. I'm the most expert.
Yeah, that's valid.
I think, Glenn, I'm most expert sounds all right, but the most expert to me changes it. If anyone out there is smarter than the two of us combined, which, you know,
is all of you.
If anyone out there in grade three who does listen, connect with us. And tell us where our grammar's going wrong. The most expert. I don't know, but yeah, that's kind of cool. So I'm looking. I'm just going through this book and just finding cool and unusual things.
Yeah, right.
I'm changing soap brands because of it.
Right.
I am. I'm changing it to Vinolia soap.
Okay.
Because it acts on the skin like a little ray of sunshine, apparently. While many soaps cause blemishes, face spots, and mucus patches.
Right. Do they?
And I'm sick of having mucus patches on my face after I've washed it with soap. So I'm going to the Vinolia soap.
Right.
It's supposed to be terrific.
And
I came across this article on X-rays, a cure for cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, so in this day they believe X-rays are a cure for cancer.
Right.
It's a genuine. Yep.
You're reading The Onion again.
Onion?
The website, The Onion.
No, this is all this newspapers.
Right.
It's an article from this newspaper. The hopeful reports received from Paris regarding the curative influence of X-rays on cancer are supported by American experts who declare that the treatment does exercise a controlling influence over all cancerous growths. There you go. Right. That bit of research was about as well researched as our podcast. You think about it. For any of those listener looking at an alternate 50mm 1.4 lens, I just found a review on the Samyang 51.4.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which I thought, oh, well, yeah. Someone's actually got it out there and trying it.
Yeah.
This is not the Yongnuo one that we talked about last week. This is the Samyang, but still. Yeah.
What was their opinion of it?
I didn't. Bruce, I looked it up whilst you were talking about something else earlier about Adam Davidson said. You know, don't expect me to. Oh, whilst I think about it as well, something for the next 5 days is on. It may just survive long enough for listeners. Every year, I should say, they do this mob called 5daydeal.com.
Oh, okay.
Do a whole bunch of photo ebooks and video tutorials and all sorts of stuff. Like $2,000 worth of normal retail price stuff for $89.
Wow.
And it's got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff from David Duchemin. It's got Zach Arias. Zach, what's his name?
Zacharias.
Zacharias, yeah. His Light, One Light 2 DVD included in it.
Okay.
So all sorts of stuff for $89 American.
This is on 5 day deal.
Yeah, so it's still got 4 days to go now. So if I pop on the night this comes out, you're probably still able to get on and jump onto it.
But, okay.
You do get an awful, and also part of the money goes to charity too. So that's kind of good.
Excellent.
So So if you're into those sort of things,
okay. So you can get Photoshop actions, Lightroom presets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's workflow videos. There's
ebooks, creative textures.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all sorts of stuff like, this one's here, advanced techniques in liquid and splash high-speed photography, compositing, how to compost, masking things like a pro. In fact, there's actually a Topaz program in there for masking as well. It's included.
Right. Yep.
30 days on lynda.com.
Yep.
Which is worth like $35 or something.
Yep.
Portrait lighting on location. There's textures. There's all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
Stormy Sky Lightroom presets and Starry Night Lightroom presets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're normally worth up to $4.97. Included.
Excellent.
So that's something that came across my desk just this morning because it's launched today.
Yep.
I know a couple of people who've got stuff in there. And
yeah, cool.
So I know they make a fair whack of money out of doing this thing once a year. So
yeah, right.
I think one guy said he made $10,000 from the week.
Wow.
For having his programs in there, which is not so bad.
Wow.
I came across this survey that photofocus.com are doing, finding out how people back up their photos.
Oh, yeah.
It's just getting a feel for external hard drives make up still 45% of all storage.
Right.
For people. And cloud is almost up to 23% now.
Okay. Funny. I thought cloud would have been higher than that by now.
Yeah. And a good RAID system, only about 15%. And then backing up to disk down to 12%.
As in like DVD or something?
Well, no, it's just to a physical disk because Blu-ray, DVD, CD is down to only like 3%.
Oh.
So... But back up to a physical disc off-site, who knows what that's supposed to mean.
Right.
But here's other is down at 2%.
Right.
Other. Yeah. I reckon next year they could see a surge. of course, the guy lives in Leningrad.
Yes.
Yeah. See a surge. then the five, I love my list.
As soon as I hear the name surge, I think of Bronson Pinchot in Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, God. Showing your age, Bruce. I've come across 5 must-have newborn photography props.
Newborn photography props.
If you're photographing newborns, like
right. Okay. Well, there'd have to be a metal bucket. Let me guess.
Not a metal bucket to be seen.
Okay. Probably a woolen blanket.
Woolen blanket. Well, it said fur, but it's a blanket number. Okay. That's number 4.
Probably, for newborns.
Think about the photos you've seen.
Newborns, yeah. I'm thinking, we're not talking photography gear, we're talking props.
No, the actual props for the kid.
Okay. I'll give up.
A blanket.
Okay.
essential photography props needs a blanket,
yeah,
a wrap to wrap them up in,
right,
a hat, right, and a dog, or slash animals,
right. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's just like, if you had even the most moderate interest in photographing babies,
yeah,
you don't need this list to tell you these things. No. You have to look at three photographs and go, oh, they've got a blanket, a hat, a dog, this kid's wrapped up and he's in a metal bucket. So a friend of mine, she's an excellent baby photographer, newborn photographer. Now, right. Does remarkable work. And just if anyone meets her and knows it, I didn't say that. but you know, she's one of the school mums, so you know, we do a pickup. And someone was the other day talking about her, you know, and about her work. She said, oh, I love what she does. And I said, and she goes, oh, she's so much like Ann Geddes.
Yep.
And I've got, oh, yeah, you make sure you go and tell her that. She loves to hear those comparisons because Ann's a big inspiration for her. And if you say any of her work even looks a bit like it, it's a really, really good thing. Really? I said, oh, you must go. Oh. And so as soon as she shows up, she goes, look, I just got to tell you, your stuff looks just like Ann Geddes. And the fury look on her. She hates Ann Geddes with a passion. Oh, and there's me smiling quietly to myself. her work looks like nothing like.
Oh, okay. Right.
So Kristen Cook, if anyone wants to look her up, if you're looking for a baby photographer in Melbourne, Kristen Cook, right. No one better.
Excellent.
So there's a little plug there in my 10% commission.
To try and redeem yourself.
Just launched a new website this week, so it could be worth having a gander around.
Okay, cool.
Stuff. But other than that, my friend, that's my exhaustive list.
Fantastic.
What's something gnawing in the back of my head. And I've also got something I was supposed to say, and I've forgotten what it is. There's one thing. As soon as I hang up, I go, oh, that's what I was going to talk about, but it's not here anymore.
Okay. Well, we shall definitely organise our post the camera around the world project. I think it's a great idea.
I love it. So people from everywhere. And then we'll put all the images up. And what we'll do, we'll put all the images up on Facebook. We'll also create a little book that people can then download for themselves.
Okay.
Because we could do like a blurb book or something, just a cheap little book, a photo a page for 36 pages.
Yep.
And then anyone who's part of the project wants a copy of it.
Yep.
And they can download in their own book. And
yeah.
We make
what I might do is set up a separate group just for those people who are taking part in the project.
I think it's called our Facebook page.
Well, no, I meant separate to the Shutters Inc. Page.
Yeah, but the only people... what I'm saying is we've got 7 listeners and we're looking for 34. I think everyone's covered on the Facebook. If you're looking somewhere private to post stuff, right. Our page is pretty secure.
Okay. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, see how you go. Yeah, I think separate page is an excellent idea.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will, and I'm glad I reminded you that tonight was on. And
yes. And we will talk to you next Thursday.
See you, mate.
See you. Bye. Now, before I go, there is one other thing that I wanted to cover this week, and in all honesty, I didn't think Glyn would be into it. So that's why I left it till the end. Through the week, I came across a website. And specifically, I came across one particular article on this website, and I'm now starting to look further on that website. The guy's name is Mark Munson, and he's a writer and I think a public speaker. This particular article was called, let me get to it, 7 Strange Questions That Help You Find Your Life Purpose. Now, I know, it sounds a bit airy-fairy, and there's lots of this type of stuff on the net. But for some reason, this particular article just really grabbed me. And I recognize that just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. But I highly recommend, if you're into, you know, looking for some way to make sense of your life, if you've ever been in that position where you go, just what the hell am I doing here? What am I meant to be doing? You know, this just made sense to me. Now, it's a lengthy read. He actually, with all of the articles on his website, he puts down roughly how long it should take you to read it. This is allegedly a 14-minute read. So, look, to give you an idea of how much impact this document had on me, or this article had on me, I've read it through 3 times, end to end. And, you know, in this day and age, and I can't speak for you, but I know from myself, you know, so often I'll see something and I'll read the first 100 words and the last 100 words and go, whatever, move on. You know, for me to read something this long, 3 times through, should just give you an idea of just how much it meant to me, that it, you know, it just sort of made sense. Now, I realize some people aren't into that idea of reading something that long, so I'm going to read it out loud for you, for those that would prefer to hear it read to them rather than to have to go and read it for themselves. And I'm doing that partly for my own benefit as much as for yours. So here goes. If you don't want to listen to that, this is fine. You know, you're more than welcome to switch off now. After I've read this, I'll just go straight to the closer of the show. So, yeah, so don't feel you've got to stick around for this if you don't want to. Here we go. One day, when my brother was 18, he waltzed into the living room and proudly announced to my mother and me that one day he was going to be a senator. My mum probably gave him the "that's nice, dear" treatment, while I'm sure I was distracted by a bowl of Cheerios or something. But for 15 years, this purpose informed all of my brother's life decisions. What he studied in school, where he chose to live, who he connected with, and even what he did with many of his vacations and weekends. And now, after almost half a lifetime of work later, he's the chairman of a major political party in his city and the youngest judge in the state. In the next few years, he hopes to run for office for the first time. Don't get me wrong, my brother is a freak. This basically never happens. Most of us have no clue what we want to do with our lives. Even after we finish school, even after we get a job, even after we're making money. Between ages 18 and 25, I changed career aspirations more often than I changed my underwear. And even after I had a business, it wasn't until I was 28 that I clearly defined what I wanted for my life. Chances are, you're more like me and have no clue what you want to do. It's a struggle almost every adult goes through. What do I want to do with my life? What am I passionate about? What do I not suck at? I often receive emails from people in their 40s and 50s who still have no clue what they want to do with themselves. Part of the problem is the concept of life purpose itself. The idea that we were each born for some higher purpose and it's now our cosmic mission to find it. This is the same kind of shitty logic used to justify things like spirit crystals, or that your lucky number is 34, but only on Tuesdays or during full moons. Here's the truth. We exist on this earth for some undetermined period of time. During that time, we do things. Some of these things are important. Some of them are unimportant. And those important things give our lives meaning and happiness. The unimportant ones basically just kill time. So when people say, "What should I do with my life?" or "What is my life purpose?" what they're actually asking is, "What can I do with my time that is important?" This is an infinitely better question to ask. It's far more manageable, and it doesn't have all of the ridiculous baggage that the life purpose question does. There's no reason for you to be contemplating the cosmic significance of your life while sitting on your couch all day eating Doritos. Rather, you should be getting off your ass and discovering what feels important to you. One of the most common email questions I get is people asking me what they should do with their lives, what their life purpose is. This is an impossible question for me to answer. After all, for all I know, this person is really into knitting sweaters for kittens or filming gay bondage porn in their basement. I have no clue. Who am I to say what's right or what's important to them? But after some research, I've put together a series of questions to help you figure out for yourself what is important to you and what can add more meaning to your life. These questions are by no means exhaustive or definitive. In fact, they're a little bit ridiculous. But I made them that way because discovering purpose in our lives should be something that's fun and interesting, not a chore. 1. What's your favourite flavour of shit sandwich and does it come with an olive? Yes, the all-important question. What flavour of shit sandwich would you like to eat? Because here's the sticky little truth about life that they don't tell you at high school pep rallies. Everything sucks some of the time. Now, that probably sounds incredibly pessimistic of me, and you may be thinking, hey, Mr. Manson, turn that frown upside down. But I actually think this is a liberating idea. Everything involves sacrifice. Everything includes some sort of cost. Nothing is pleasurable or uplifting all of the time. So the question becomes, what struggle or sacrifice are you willing to tolerate? Ultimately, what determines our ability to stick with something we care about is our ability to handle the rough patches and ride out the inevitable rotten days. If you want to be a brilliant tech entrepreneur, but you can't handle failure, then you're not going to make it far. If you want to be a professional artist, but you aren't willing to see your work rejected hundreds, if not thousands of times, then you're done before you start. If you want to be a hotshot court lawyer, but can't stand the 80-hour work weeks, then I've got bad news for you. What unpleasant experiences are you able to handle? Are you able to stay up all night coding? Are you able to put off starting a family for 10 years? Are you able to have people laugh you off the stage over and over again until you get it right? What shit sandwich do you want to eat? Because we all get served one eventually. Might as well pick one with an olive. 2. What is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry? When I was a child, I used to write stories. I used to sit in my room for hours by myself, writing away about aliens, about superheroes, about great warriors, about my friends and family, not because I wanted anyone to read it, not because I wanted to impress my parents or teachers, but for the sheer joy of it. And then, for some reason, I stopped, and I don't remember why. We all have a tendency to lose touch with what we loved as a child. Something about the social pressures of adolescence and professional pressures of young adulthood squeezes the passion out of us. We're taught that the only reason to do something is if we're somehow rewarded for it. It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I rediscovered how much I loved writing. And it wasn't until I started my business that I remembered how much I enjoyed building websites, something I did in my early teens just for fun. The funny thing, though, is that if my 8-year-old self had asked my 20-year-old self, why don't you write anymore? And I replied, because I'm not good at it, or because nobody would read what I write, or because you can't make money doing that, not only would I have been completely wrong, but that 8-year-old boy version of myself would have probably started crying. 3. What makes you forget to eat and poop? We've all had that experience where we get so wrapped up in something that minutes turn into hours and hours turn into, holy crap, I forgot to have dinner. Supposedly, in his prime, Isaac Newton's mother had to regularly come in and remind him to eat because he would go entire days so absorbed in his work that he would forget. I used to be like that with video games. This probably wasn't a good thing. In fact, for many years it was kind of a problem. I would sit and play video games instead of doing more important things like studying for an exam or showering regularly or speaking to other humans face to face. It wasn't until I gave up the games that I realized my passion wasn't for the games themselves, although I do love them. My passion is for improvement, being good at something and then trying to get better. The games themselves, the graphics, the stories, they were cool, but I can easily live without them. It's the competition with others, but especially with myself, that I thrive on. And when I applied that obsessiveness for improvement and self-competition to an internet business and to my writing, well, things took off in a big way. Maybe for you it's something else. Maybe it's organizing things efficiently, or getting lost in a fantasy world, or teaching somebody something, or solving technical problems. Whatever it is, don't just look at the activities that keep you up all night, but look at the cognitive principles behind those activities that enthrall you, because they can easily be applied elsewhere. 4. How can you better embarrass yourself? Before you are able to be good at something and do something important, you must first suck at something and have no clue what you're doing. That's pretty obvious. And in order to suck at something and have no clue what you're doing, you must embarrass yourself in some shape or form, often repeatedly. And most people try to avoid embarrassing themselves, namely because it sucks. Ergo, due to the transitive property of awesomeness, if you avoid anything that could potentially embarrass you, then you'll never end up doing something that feels important. Yes, it seems that once again, it all comes back to vulnerability. Right now, there's something you want to do, something you think about doing, something you fantasize about doing, yet you don't do it. You have your reasons, no doubt, and you repeat these reasons to yourself ad infinitum. But what are those reasons? Because I can tell you right now that if those reasons are based on what others would think, then you're screwing yourself over big time. If your reasons are something like, I can't start a business because spending time with my kids is more important to me, or playing StarCraft all day would probably interfere with my music and music is more important to me, then okay. Sounds good. But if your reasons are, my parents would hate it, or my friends would make fun of me, or if I failed I'd look like an idiot, then chances are you're actually avoiding something you truly care about, because caring about this thing is what scares the shit out of you. Not what mum thinks or what Timmy next door says. Great things are, by their very nature, unique and unconventional. Therefore, to achieve them, we must go against the herd mentality. And to do that is scary. Embrace embarrassment. Feeling foolish is part of the path to achieving something important, something meaningful. The more a major life decision scares you, chances are the more you need to be doing it. 5. How are you going to save the world? In case you haven't seen the news lately, the world has a few problems. And by a few problems, what I really mean is everything is fucked and we're all going to die. I've harped on this before, and the research also bears it out. But to live a happy and healthy life, we must hold on to values that are greater than our own pleasure or satisfaction. So, pick a problem and start saving the world. There are plenty to choose from. Our screwed up education systems, economic development, domestic violence, mental health care, governmental corruption. Hell, I just saw an article this morning on sex trafficking in the US and it got me all riled up and wishing I could do something. It also ruined my breakfast. Find a problem you care about and start solving it. Obviously, you're not going to fix the world's problems by yourself, but you can contribute and make a difference. And that feeling of making a difference is ultimately what's most important for your own happiness and fulfillment. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gee, Mark, I read all of this horrible stuff and I get all pissed off too, but that doesn't translate to action, much less a new career path. Glad you asked. 6. Gun to your head. If you had to leave the house, all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do? For many of us, the enemy is just old-fashioned complacency. We get into our routines. We distract ourselves. The couch is comfortable, the Doritos are cheesy, and nothing new happens. This is a problem. What most people don't understand is that passion is the result of action, not the cause of it. Discovering what you're passionate about in life and what matters to you is a full contact sport, a trial and error process. None of us know exactly how we feel about an activity until we actually do the activity. So ask yourself, if someone put a gun to your head and forced you to leave your house every day for everything except for sleep, how would you choose to occupy yourself? And no, you can't just go sit in a coffee shop and browse Facebook. You probably already do that. Let's pretend there are no useless websites, no video games, no TV. You have to be outside of the house all day, every day, until it's time to go to bed. Where would you go and what would you do? Sign up for a dance class, join a book club, go get another degree, invent a new form of irrigation system that can save the thousands of children's lives in rural Africa, learn to hang glide. What would you do with all of that time? If it strikes your fancy, write down a few answers and then, you know, go out and actually do them. Bonus points if it involves embarrassing yourself. 7. If you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do and how would you want to be remembered? Most of us don't like thinking about death. It freaks us out. But thinking about our own death, surprisingly, has a lot of practical advantages. One of those advantages is that it forces us to zero in on what's actually important in our lives and what's just frivolous and distracting. When I was in college, I used to walk around and ask people, if you had a year to live, what would you do? As you can imagine, I was a huge hit at parties. A lot of people gave vague and boring answers. A few drinks were nearly spit on me. But it did cause people to really think about their lives in a different way and reevaluate what their priorities were. What is your legacy going to be? What are the stories people are going to tell when you're gone? What is your obituary going to say? Is there anything to say at all? If not, what would you like it to say? How can you start working towards that today? And again, if you fantasize about your obituary saying a bunch of badass shit that impresses a bunch of random other people, then again, you're failing here. When people feel like they have no sense of direction, no purpose in their life, it's because they don't know what's important to them. They don't know what their values are. And when you don't know what your values are, then you're essentially taking on other people's values and living other people's priorities instead of your own. This is a one-way ticket to unhealthy relationships and eventual misery. Discovering one's purpose in life essentially boils down to finding those one or two things that are bigger than yourself and bigger than those around you. And to find them, you must get off your couch and act, and take the time to think beyond yourself, to think greater than yourself, and paradoxically, to imagine a world without yourself.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.